Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. NBA draft week continues. There's a couple of additional rumors out there regarding the Timberwolves. Could Clint Capela be a trade option for the Wolves? And what's the fact that he's even an option mean about the Timberwolves' potential interest in finding a center, whether in the draft, free agency, or trade, and moving Karl Anthony Towns to the four at times? Also, a couple more players off of my Locked On Wolves draft big board. It's all upcoming. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday as draft week rolls right along. We're just 2 days away from the big night. First of all, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find this show. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon. And that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Today, of course, we're talking draft. There is a Timberwolves rumor out there. I want to start there and then kind of, segue that into a couple more players on my big board and also just the general conversation surrounding the Wolves pursuing centers, which is where this rumor came from. Shams Charania of The Athletic and Stadium had just kind of like a dump of draft notes and I guess trade market notes, just general NBA. Here's what's going on. Here are some of the rumors out there on Monday. And one of his notes was that the Timberwolves are searching for veteran centers, and one of the players who they've talked about is Clint Capela. Now, that doesn't mean the Wolves are on the verge of trading for Clint Capela. It doesn't mean anything other than the fact that the Wolves, what I take from that is the Wolves are looking for centers, and Clint Capela fits the mold, the profile of a center that they'd be looking for, because of course, Karl Anthony Towns is a center, right? He's played almost exclusively center throughout his career. And I've talked a little bit on this show about the possibility of, it started with really drafting a center and moving Karl Anthony Towns to the four at times. And I've mostly brushed that off because I think the Wolves will do that. I think that Chris Finch is very open to playing big and putting Towns at the four. He did it briefly a few times last year with Naz Reid, but I mean, didn't do it much at all really at the end of the year, but he still did it more than Ryan Saunders did in the previous regime. Remember, Ryan Saunders was trying to go ultra small, Josh Okogie at the four, Juancho Hernangómez at the four, stuff like that. That was kind of what Ryan Saunders was trying to do. Chris Finch is open to playing big. It's just that Naz Reid and Karl Anthony Towns, I think they work okay together depending on the matchup, and I honestly think the Wolves could have done it more last year. But there's also too many similarities in between Naz and Towns, but not necessarily in a good way, right? Because Naz replicates a lot of what Towns does, but not anywhere near at the level that Towns does it. He's a good shot blocker, but he's undersized to play center and move Towns to the four. And so then inevitably what happens is Naz gets pulled away from the basket where he's much less comfortable and can get beat on the perimeter. And then at that point, why not just put a more switchable, more defender with better lateral quickness out there than Naz Reid. So when you're looking at the offseason, you have to look at the best way to maximize your assets. And one of the reasons why I've been, and I talked about this a couple of different times now, why I have Mark Williams, for instance, I just covered him on my big board. He's somebody who's likely going to get drafted in the top 15. And I had him down at number 20 on my big board because I don't think the Wolves, if he slides to 19, you have to have the conversation because there is some upside there. But is the best use of your draft assets to pick a center who is going to play 12 to 16 minutes a night behind Karl Anthony Towns? Yes, you could steal some minutes here and there with him next to Karl Anthony Towns, but there's only so many possessions I feel like you can get away with that. It's true that the Wolves functionally play with Jared Vanderbilt as a five, and they've done that with Josh Okogie too as a five with Karl Anthony Towns at the four because the offense is revolving around Towns and you have some limited offensive players on the floor with him. But we've seen why that doesn't work sometimes, right? There's a reason why Vando couldn't be on the court as much against certain teams. There's a reason why Josh Okogie was played out of the rotation. You can't have that many guys who are that limited offensively. I know that Mark Williams can do more than Josh Okogie offensively. I know that as a rim runner, as a pick and roll big, there's a lot of upside there. Very dynamic in the dunker spot, much bigger than Jared Vanderbilt, a bigger target for guards to find him on lobs. We'll talk about another center today who falls into that same category. However, with no range and no post game at all, not that the Wolves are going to run a ton through the low post, but it's not like you have a big that has the same skill set as Towns. In fact, you're talking about guys who can't do either of those things. And Towns is really good in the post. He's really good on the perimeter. And now you're talking about bigs that are limited as pick and roll roll men. So now what happens? Are you going to run a big pick and roll a lot of the time down the floor? Are you going to run Towns with the ball in his hands and Mark Williams or insert other, you know, Clint Capella here as the screener? I mean, you certainly could do that. It's not going to be your go-to necessarily. If you just stick him in the dunker spot, I don't think that that's super valuable either. It would certainly be more dynamic again than having some of the guys who have played there recently in the dunker spot. So the Capella thing's intriguing mostly because, and here's why I think they're targeting Capella potentially, or why Capella has been floated as an option for the Wolves. I mean, he's a much better rebounder than Karl-Anthony Towns. For his career, Clint Capella has been a fantastic all-around rebounder, and he's also a really good screener. So you could do some of those pick and rolls between Towns and Capella. He's played exclusively center really since the beginning of his career with Houston. But the rebound rate has always been very good. The last couple of years in Atlanta, it's been outstanding because they played him a lot with John Collins, and Atlanta asked him to do a lot of the same stuff the Wolves would likely ask him to do if they were to trade for him. The high rebound rate, the high defensive rebound rate specifically. He had career highs in rebound rates last year with Atlanta. The block rate last year, or I should say 2 years ago, the 2021 season was a career high. It came down a little bit last year, but still better than Karl-Anthony Towns. He was, I think, 10th in the league in block rate last year among qualified bigs. So he's not your traditional rim protector. He's certainly a better shot blocker than Karl-Anthony Towns, but he's not significantly better. Towns was actually had a pretty decent block rate last year. The problem, obviously, the biggest problem is foul trouble. And then again, the rebound rate is very good. So that's attractive. But offensively, I still think somebody like Capella is at least a bit more dynamic and has more touch and just a little bit more range on a shot. He doesn't shoot threes, obviously, but can do a little bit more than some of these bigs in the draft. So landing a guy like Capella would be a really intriguing use of assets in terms of a contract. I mean, he's got what? He's got 3 years left on his deal, the extension that he signed prior to last season. So it's still three more years at 18 this year, 20 and a half million next year, and 22.2 the following year. So that's a lot of money tied up into another big, into another essentially set, not quite a 7-footer, neither is Towns, but another guy who basically is just a center. And again, yes, you can play Towns and Capella together, and that's the whole idea. But for really long stretches, I just don't know how sustainable that is for the Timberwolves offensively. Defensively, it could work because they're both switchable enough and can both block shots. But offensively, I think the skill sets, I think the limited skill set offensive big can be a little bit tricky if he can't stretch the floor and isn't an option in the post. I mean, Capella, I guess, could play in the post a little bit. So obviously we're talking about kind of two different things here, right? Clint Capella is much more well-rounded than, say, Mark Williams, who's about to get drafted. But he also costs a lot less, or I should say he costs a lot more in terms of both salary and opportunity cost. And then there's also the free agent option. And this is something I talked about a little bit. I didn't name names, but this is where asset management comes in. Is it worth it to give up assets for Clint Capella and then pay him an average of $20 million over the next 3 years when I don't know that you could play him and Towns together 30 minutes a game, right? I think that overlap is going to be somewhat limited. Is it worth it to use your first round pick or to trade up for a center like a Mark Williams or Walker Kessler, who we'll talk about later, spoiler, you know, a 7-footer in this year's draft, when you could go find one on the free agent market? Now, there's not a ton out there, but like the most obvious one is JaVale McGee, who has a history with Tim Connelly in Denver, has been brought to Denver by Connelly in the past. JaVale McGee is going to be a free agent. He fits that shot blocker role, who could play short minutes next to Towns at the five, could be your main backup five, push Towns to the four for, I don't know, 6 to 10 minutes a game. There's other guys out there. I mean, Robin Lopez would be another extremely veteran option. I don't know that Gorgui Dieng is the best fit anymore, although a reunion would be fun. Of course, there's Dwight Howard out there. Those are probably the most obvious names that could also block some shots. Ivica Zubac is likely going to get his option picked up. He's got a club option with the Clippers. Thomas Bryant isn't necessarily a rim protector, but he would be out there potentially as a free agent. And then there's some bigger name guys that aren't necessarily going to fit. Obviously, Yusuf Nurkic and DeAndre Ayton has his restricted free agency showdown this summer with the Suns. I should also mention Bismack Biyombo is out there too. He'd be a lower cost option. So you look at the free agent market and you talk about like You talk about Zubats, probably not Zubats. You talk about JaVale McGee, Robin Lopez, Gorgie Jang, Dwight Howard, and Bismack Biyombo. I think you could find somebody out there at a much lower cost. The opportunity cost of acquiring one of those free agents, a veteran free agent, is going to be less than trading up, standing patent trading, or completing a trade for a guy like Clint Capella. So the Capella thing's intriguing mostly because it shows that the Wolves are very willing to move talents to the fore. And Connolly has said as much in the media. But I don't think the Wolves give up a ton of assets to find another big to play with Towns. I think they need to find their shot blocking and their rebounding from other positions. I've talked about this before. Yes, they should find a backup five who could do this. So like a JaVale McGee, I think would be a great fit. A Robin Lopez could be a very good fit. Finding somebody who can still block some shots, compete on the glass, play five and push Towns to the four for short minutes per game and be your primary backup five, potentially be a better fit than Naz Reid for the roster. I think that's important, but I don't think trading a bunch of assets for Clint Capella and his contract, I don't think, you know, trading up to draft a Mark Williams or drafting Walker Kessler at number 19 is the best use of assets. So I continue to believe that, although we could definitely get a peek into what Connolly and the front office are trying to do in Minnesota, given this rumor about Clint Capella from Shams Charania. Okay, I want to hit a couple more players on my big board here as we inch ever closer to the draft. We're going to do that here next. First, let's talk about our friends over at Prize Picks. All right, NBA fans, are you looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA? Then you need to try the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Absolutely love the app, and I know you will too. It's super easy to use. You just pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under in their projections. You can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's super easy. They offer safe and fast withdrawals, and you can use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Here's how it works. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from points scored to rebounds, even steals. You can also do mixed sport entries, which is my favorite part, or my favorite aspect. I guess the NBA is over now, but you can take NHL, pick a goal scorer for the, you know, Tampa Bay or whoever, you know, in the Stanley Cup Finals, and, you know, say goals scored over. You could pick a Byron Buxton over home runs. You could go NHL Stanley Cup Finals, baseball, you know, Twins game at the same time. You could also do, in football season, of course, college football, NFL, college basketball, soccer, MMA, any two sports, really. Mix your entries and root for two different sports of the same night. It's a ton of fun, and you're only playing against the projected numbers, not against professional DFS players or anything like that. For a limited time, PrizePicks is an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our listeners. Our listeners get $50 for free if a player in your first PrizePicks entry scores a single point, but you must use the code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Lockdown listeners only. Sign up today and use the code NBA, $50 for free, if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores just a single point. All right, let's continue the big board. I'm through 20 players now. I'm not going to rehash them all now. We're going to do that over the next couple of days with a little bit more detail. But today I want to get right into numbers 21 and 22 on the big board as we close out the show. Number 21 for me on my, and again, this is players on my Timberwolves big board. If I were picking at these selections or these guys were on the board in this order, who I would draft. I have Ty Washington Jr. out of Kentucky at 21. He's a player who's been mocked to the Timberwolves. I think ESPN had him at one point going to Minnesota. The Ringer, I believe, still has him going to Minnesota at 19. He's likely going to be on the board. And he's intriguing. I maybe don't like him as much as the consensus, but I think I would certainly consider him at 19 if he was on the board. I think the Wolves need to consider him as an option. He's a fantastic pick and roll guard, which obviously matters a lot for the Timberwolves, not as much as it did with Ryan Saunders as the coach, but it matters under Chris Finch. Pick and roll obviously is the bread and butter of really any NBA offense, right? It's old faithful. You have to be able to run the pick and roll. And Ty Washington's very good at that. He's also really good at pushing the ball in transition. I would argue he's probably better in transition or profiled, maybe not from day one, but profiles is a better guard in transition than D'Angelo Russell. I think he's maybe a little bit quicker, better at head manning the ball. D'Lo sometimes can get a little bit, you know, he can either push the ball in that he's pushing himself into a pull-up three, or he gets ahead of himself, you know, maybe once a game, makes a crazy pass in transition, or he just straight slows it down. I don't think we see him head manning. We don't see as many hit-ahead passes from D'Lo that are effective. And Washington's really good at that. He's really good in the pick and roll. He's really good in the open floor. He's also a really strong pull-up jumper, or has a really pull-up shooter. He's got a strong pull-up jumper from the mid-range. We'll talk in a second about his three-point shooting ability, but the mid-range capabilities of Washington remind me a little bit of D'Angelo Russell. He's a little bit small. He's 6'3 with a 6'9 wingspan, so the wingspan's really attractive. But from anywhere in that mid-range, jumpers, floaters, he's got a great floater game. He's really good once he gets past the primary defender. And then adding to that, he's very comfortable throwing lob passes. He's great at passing to guys in the dunker's spot, whether that's, you know, just kind of floating a pass to somebody with size, or if it's throwing an actual lob for an alley-oop dunk. And so if he could get past the primary defender, if he gets inside the arc or in transition, he could pull up and shoot from the mid-range. He can get a little closer and shoot a floater, or he can throw a lob to a teammate. And that skill set, again, is a little reminiscent of D'Lo. And it's super valuable. The Wolves don't have that really beyond D'Lo. I mean, Jordan McLaughlin could do it a little bit. Patrick Beverley gets a little uncomfortable once he gets into that mid range, although he's got a floater game. I shouldn't say he gets uncomfortable. It's within the skill set of McLaughlin, of Beverley, and D'Angelo Russell. But the Wolves haven't had a point guard. You know, obviously Ricky Rubio was not good in that range of the floor. Not good at decision making there. He always shot that weird side fade instead of, he didn't have a floater at all. And the Wolves mostly now have had guards, you know, Tyus Jones, another example of a guard who is very comfortable in the mid-range, pulling up, shooting floaters, passing lobs. Ty Washington can do all of those things, and I think that's an important skill set in the Timberwolves offense. His form is really good on his jumper, and again, the mid-range jumper is fantastic. His catch-and-shoot three-point percentage is pretty good, and I don't have it in front of me, but he did do a good job of shooting catch-and-shoot threes in college. But it wasn't quite consistent enough. And oh, here it is, 36%. So it's decent. Like, it's not great. You want your catch and shoot guys to be, because obviously after dribble is going to be lower than that. So you want the catch and shoot to be higher, but 36% isn't atrocious. I mean, he can do it. And the form and his ability from the mid range, the touch on floaters and around the rim, more on floaters than at the rim. We'll get to that in a second. Suggests that there's some projection there from 3-point range. So I actually think he can be a decent shooter. But he doesn't get to the rim that much, which my two biggest concerns with Ty Washington Jr. are he doesn't get to the rim much, which is a lot like D'Angelo Russell. And he also is somewhat limited athletically and can get beat by quicker guards, isn't quite big enough or athletic enough to do a great job at getting through screens with consistency. And that's obviously the same concern we've had with D'Angelo Russell in terms of at least athleticism and want to get through screens. With somebody like Jordan McLaughlin, it's more size than anything else. And Washington's bigger than McLaughlin. He's not quite as big as D'Lo, and he's probably has about, I would say, comparable athleticism to a McLaughlin, maybe a little bit more athleticism than a guy like D'Lo. And the length is decent with the 6'9 wingspan, even though he's only 6'3. So if he can make sure that he's applying himself on the perimeter defensively and continue to improve his technique, I think you could get away with him as your lead guard, and he could be decent trying to fight through screens. But he's not super switchable. He's not ultra athletic, and you'd be playing with fire if you're trying to switch with him. So I think the defensive limitations and then the fact that he just doesn't get to the rim and consequently doesn't really get to the free throw line. If you trade D'Angelo Russell and draft Ty Washington, I think you're drafting a similar player with perhaps not quite as much upside as a D'Lo. I don't think he'll ever be a 20-point a game. I don't think he will ever be a 20-point a game scorer. I think it's unlikely. If the three-point shot comes along and he can get to the rim a bit more, I mean, D'Lo did it without getting to the rim very much, and he was a mediocre three-point shooter to start as well. So I think there is some upside similar to D'Lo there. I don't know that he'll ever be quite the scorer as D'Lo. He could be a better defender. I think he's got the tools to potentially be a better defender. So if D'Angelo Russell's on the way out, I mean, Ty Washington's not a bad selection at 19. I think he could be solid from day one. I think you could mix him in with Patrick Beverley and Jordan McLaughlin in the backcourt and probably a free agent guard and give him some minutes. And ultimately, he could be, you know, your lower usage starting guard that you want with Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards moving forward in their, you know, their window to get to the playoffs and make some noise. So I think Washington could fit there. I'm not ultra enthused about him as a prospect, but I think he's kind of a high floor, moderate ceiling type of an option. So I think you have to consider him at 19. He likely would come in and try and be a higher usage guy. I think you'd need to, as I mentioned a minute ago, work on him being a lower usage guy within the team. He's a good passer, should be a good spot up shooter. Can you get him into the role that you need him to be in? You don't want him dominating the ball when you have Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns. So that's another kind of minor concern of mine. But ultimately, you'd have to consider him at 19. As a prospect, again, higher floor, moderate ceiling. So an option, not somebody I've gotten super enthused about as a potential draftee by the Timberwolves. Okay, one more player. I'm going to go to 22 on my big board this year, and then I'll mention a couple of guys who just missed. So I wanted to do number 22 here next. First, let's talk about our friends over at Rock Auto. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com, both at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you can need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil to even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution for your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, rounding out my big board at number 22 today is Walker Kessler, the center from Auburn. He is massive, 7'1" with a 7'5" wingspan. So slightly taller with a slightly shorter wingspan, if you're going to compare him to Mark Williams. And there are a lot of similarities between these two guys, honestly. The craziest thing about Kessler is the block rate, a 19% block rate, which if you're not well-versed in rate-based statistics, that means that 19% of all shots attempted by opponents while he was on the floor were blocked. One out of every five shots attempted by Auburn opponents with Kessler on the floor was blocked by Walker Kessler, which is absolutely insane. I mean, usually you're talking about block rates that are, you know, really good block rates in the NBA are, you know, 6-7+%. There's usually only like 10 guys that are above 6%. Walker Kessler had a 19% block rate this year. He averaged like 4.5 blocks a game. Now, that means he didn't play all that many minutes. Foul trouble played into it. We'll get into that here in a minute too. But the 19% block rate is crazy. You obviously can't teach his length, his size, but clearly he knows how to use it. And defensively, beyond just your traditional rim protection, which he does, he's really smart when it comes to angles. And actually, I talked about this with Mark Williams too. I think he's also really good at taking good angles, which is why these guys are first-round picks and not second-round or undrafted guys. You know, obviously their size and the fact that they played, you know, top level college basketball, but there's a reason for all of this, right? They're both smart players. They both know how to take angles defensively. And I said this with Mark Williams, I'll say it with Kessler, knowing which angle to take, knowing where to funnel a ball handler to get them to a place where the shot has to go above or around you. And at 7+ feet with a 7.5 foot wingspan, that's really hard to do. And you could block everything in sight. That's exactly what Kessler did. So the ability to funnel a ball handler, the ability to get some chase down blocks as well, to block some shots from behind, and then your traditional rim protection, the length allows him to close out on jump shots, all really good from Walker Kessler. He's also good offensively as the roll man. Really good when it comes to short rolls, can kind of get short roll, get the ball, take a dribble, maybe two, use a couple of long strides to get to the basket, and can dunk over people. He's got the length and enough athleticism to do that. He's got pretty good touch around the rim from a couple feet out. Maybe not quite as much range or touch as Mark Williams, but pretty close. And he shot like 60 jumpers total this year, which is a fair amount for a guy who was so good around the rim. But he only shot 20% on jumpers, not on threes, just jumpers in general. So anything outside a couple of feet. So that's a concern. But again, the touch right at the rim, and you know, it suggests perhaps he could improve in that area. And if he does, he's going to be a far more valuable player, obviously, if he has any range at all in his shot. But the biggest thing for me is the ability in pick and roll offensively and the ability to do multiple things defensively. He's not great on the perimeter. He's going to be best used in drop coverage, which again, we said the same thing about Mark Williams, where they're both better in drop. They're better kind of backpedaling and using their length to bother ball handlers and make good decisions. Both Williams and Kessler know how to play drop coverage. They're both intelligent players. And I would say the same thing, that they would both be reasonably switchable at the NBA level. Williams should be a little better than Kessler. Kessler gets a little stiff sometimes, and small and shifty ball handlers can give him trouble. But if you're talking bigger wings, I mean, he does a pretty good job at staying in front of them, and he's not, you know, he doesn't have cement blocks for feet. I think he does a pretty good job being somewhat switchable. So you could play him in some different pick and roll schemes. I think he can play high wall. They didn't do a ton of that at Auburn. They did far more drop, but you can find footage of him playing high wall coverage, which is what the Wolves play, essentially blitzing the ball handler. And again, Kessler's mobile enough. You're not going to play switching. You're not going to play, you're not going to switch every time with Kessler or often with Kessler. He can do it, but I think he can play high wall consistently. So you could make an argument that he should be a little bit higher in this board because, again, I think he could fit a role with the Timberwolves. But I'll say the same thing I said earlier in the show, in the first segment, and I said about Mark Williams the other day, or on yesterday's show, I guess, on Monday's show. There's a point where there's, you know, is this the best use of assets? Is Walker Kessler worth it to play 12 minutes, 14 minutes behind Karl Anthony Towns? But I do think Kessler's the type of guy who would play well next to Towns, and same with Mark Williams. I think both of those guys would play well, but there's only so many minutes a game you're going to do that. So maybe they back him up for 12, 14 minutes. Maybe they play 6 to 8 minutes next to him. And I guess now you're in the neighborhood of 20 minutes, and perhaps that's worth a mid to late first round pick. I don't think you're going up to get these guys, but if a Mark Williams or a Walker Kessler's on the board, I think you take them, or I think you have to consider taking them, I should say. There's other guys who could fall that I would prefer to take, guys that I obviously have higher on the big board. Now, Mark Williams isn't going to be there at 19. Walker Kessler probably will be. So I would circle him as somebody to look out for, because if the Wolves are talking to other teams about veteran centers, if they're considering Clint Capella, they're going to consider Walker Kessler as a backup five and somebody who could shift Towns to the four for a certain number of minutes a game, drafting him at number 19. He's often mocked in the low 20s, so he's very likely going to be on the board at 19. So he's somebody you'd have to consider if you're Minnesota. Keep an eye on him. Now, if all things are equal and there's some of these other wings that are on the board, I'd take Jalen Williams before I would take Walker Kessler, and he's possible to be on the board at 19. I'd take EJ Liddell before I would take him. I had him at 17 on my big board. I don't know that the Wolves feel the same way. But if some of these guys are gone and it's down to like him and Ty Washington, I think you can have that conversation about like, hey, do we go with the potential successor to D'Lo? Do we go with somebody who's going to fit a very specific role, have limited upside, but be that backup five and be that guy who can shift Towns to the four and Walker Kessler? I think that that's something interesting to consider. Okay, really quickly, a couple guys who just missed. Blake Wesley out of Notre Dame is somebody who... I have some concerns with offensive consistency. Well, actually, consistency on both ends of the floor, but there could be some ceiling there. He's somebody who just missed, and I'd seen him mock to the Wolves somewhere. I think that might have been ESPN as well. Blake Wesley just missed my list. I guess he would be the biggest one. I like Marjon Beauchamp. We talked about him several weeks ago on the show. He's very likely going to fall to the end of the first round, but I like him as a prospect from the G League Ignite. So keep an eye on him as a possibility if the Wolves end up trading back, or if they, you know, if he falls all the way to the second round. He's a wing with some versatility, some really good on-ball ability. Reminds me a little bit of Josh Okogie in that he's very limited offensively. He's not a good shooter, but he's a smart player. He plays hard. He's got a big wingspan. He's a little bigger than Josh Okogie, but I like Beauchamp as a possibility if he slides to the second round or the Wolves were to trade back. But he's somebody who just missed, as well as Blake Wesley out of Notre Dame, missed my top 22. So on Wednesday and Thursday, I'm going to cruise back through. I'm going to highlight players that I'm excited about as possible player flag, essentially maybe 5 to 8 players that I say, you know, the Wolves could look to trade up for this guy or this guy. They could look to stand pat and get one of these 2 or 3 guys. Or if they were to move back, here are guys who should be on the board that I would strongly consider for the Wolves. We're going to do that over the next couple of days. Of course, if there's any additional rumors, we'll get to those as well. The Clint Capella thing was Monday, so who knows what happens on Tuesday and Wednesday. Okay, and then also a reminder that you can check out the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft right now. Actually, Tuesday's episode of the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. That's all you got to do is search that wherever you listen to podcasts. Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. There are 5 episodes of all the Locked On hosts selecting in a mock draft format. So the episode with yours truly, with pick number 19, is today on Tuesday. You can search it, get over 50 insiders, the Odyssey sports experts, the draft experts of Locked On NBA Big Board. Again, five episodes well underway. Make Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen today. So go check that out. All right, that's all I have for you today. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen. Of course, we're available everywhere, including YouTube, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Podcast Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.